Welcome back. It's Tom Bell here, and I am very excited to have you here for another episode. So thank you so much for tuning in. And I'm wanting to talk about the idea of, can we take control of our mind? You know, we've probably all got the devil and the angel on our shoulder as we roll through life. I know I certainly do, and quite often I am just on autopilot. I'll quite often steamroll the positive voice. You know, I'm looking at being leaner and eating healthier, and I'll have made 22 great decisions on saying no to offers for food and cakes because it's someone's birthday and all the different things. And then all of a sudden I'll find myself halfway through eating two chocolate biscuits thinking, what am I doing here? Or just as I was going for the chocolate biscuits, I'll hear in my mind, do you really want to eat the chocolate biscuit? But it's a whisper. It's not exactly like the full-blown, you know, do not do it, stop, you know. So typically I'm like, no, I'll just eat it. And then even while I'm eating, I'm thinking, what was the point of that? I didn't need those biscuits. Like, the taste was so fleeting. I think it might have been Michelle Bridges that had said, you know, a moment on the lips. No, nothing tastes as good as thin feels, I think it was that she said, which I thought was great. But we've all got this devil and the angel. And I was listening to Bedros Koulian, I think that's how you say his name. He's got a pretty interesting podcast, a pretty animated fellow, quite successful sort of dude. And he was talking about how when you're riding around in your car, the car of your life, that you tend to have the critic. He calls it the critic and the advocate, the devil and the angel. He's saying that the critic is riding shotgun. You've got the critic in the seat beside you, talking you out of things, telling you to play it safe, telling you you're not good enough, all of those sorts of things. And then you can kind of hear this muffled, taped up voice in the back. And it's actually your advocate, the angel, taped, hog-tied and duct taped over the mouth in the trunk. And he says that ultimately you want to try to work on overcoming the critic that's sitting in the passenger seat, hogtie him, duct tape him, and whack him into the trunk, and invite your advocate up into the passenger seat, the one that's going to tell you that you're doing great, that you can conquer great things, that you know that you have deep potential, that you should be engaging in your passions, and that you should be working to achieve your purpose. And I remember a story I heard a long, long time ago, and you know, probably butcher it, but you know, it's basically of this village, and they were telling this story. Like, a chief was telling a young child or the young children the story of the two wolves in our mind, and that, you know, one wolf is bad and one wolf is good, and the two wolves are always battling each other. And one of the little boys speaks up and says, hey, so which wolf wins? And the chief says to the little boy, well, the one that you feed. And that's very interesting, right? So, you know, if we're feeding ourselves positive, like I noticed I get into a little bit of a funky headspace today. I caught myself into the funky headspace and then quickly called the advocate from the trunk back up to the front seat, kicked the critic at least to the back seat, and then just sort of ran through things I'm grateful for, talked, you know, to myself, or just wrote down some goals, and you know that plenty of other people have achieved them, and just sort of looked at that and let that sort of sink in for a minute. But it is one of those things that it's cyclic, right? So I believe that we're going to be floating in and out of having, you know, the two wolves, and is it always so easy to just feed the good wolf? Like, sometimes it feels like the good wolf needs, I don't know, some sort of expensive, you know, steak, gourmet steaks, where the angry wolf or the evil wolf or the bad wolf, whatever you want to call it, the critic, it doesn't seem to need too much to be fed at all. It just seems to just get bigger and bigger and bigger on its own. And if you just, you know, if left unchecked, it becomes this monstrous beast, you know, that good luck slaying, right? So in my mind, autopilot seems to kick in all the time. I'm always running on autopilot, and I want to stop running on autopilot. I don't want to, or at least I want to stop running on autopilot with patterns that are negative. I want to somehow work out that control of the mind, harnessing my own mind from a perspective of being able to create an autopilot that sees me listening to the angel, feeding the good wolf, keeping the advocate, riding shotgun. You know, how many days does it even take to make a habit? You know, there's all these different theories, 30 days, 15 days, 67 days, 90 days. Look, whatever it is, it feels like it's a lot of days, and it sometimes feels really challenging. Often, more times than not, it feels really challenging to put new habits in place. And it's largely because the enthusiasm fades. And I was reading, I think it's Seth Godin, probably said his name wrong, but about his book, The Dip. And it talks about how, you know, after you start something, you know, it's exciting to start with. And being a trainer, you know, it's and there's a theory called situational leadership, which I really like as well as a leader, that, you know, helps you look at learners and the fact that they will go through these stages. And ultimately we do for anything that we learn. Initially, we don't have a lot of skill, but we've got a lot of enthusiasm. We're willing to try. We want to jump in. We want to do that thing. And then the enthusiasm fades. We're not as excited about it anymore. And we're also realizing that we're not that great. And it's going to take a long time to get good. And we have to ask ourselves, do we actually want to do it? Because now we're not excited about it anymore. And that's that dip. That's that place, that dark place, that cave, that wandering in the desert, you know, it feels like. And you've got to ask yourself, like, is it worth it? You know, you hear stories, and when I used to interview people from, you know, the endurance scene and people that have been doing, you know, these monstrous races, 100 kilometers more, 100 milers more. And you get to a point where you think to yourself, and even I thought to myself when I tried to do an 85K race, I only made 44 kilometers. But still, like, you know, you find yourself asking, like, what's the point of this? Who am I trying to prove something to? What am I out here for? And if you don't have some really good reasons why you want to be doing this thing, you know, and enough fire in your belly to really sort of, you know, go all in on this thing and stick to it so that you make it out of the desert, through the dip, and, you know, to the other side where you actually start to enjoy the benefits, you know, much like we were talking about recently with the lucky bamboo shooting through. You know, if you go and plant some seeds in the dirt, you can't turn up tomorrow and expect a tree, right? There is going to have to be that natural time. But is decision fatigue a real thing? Like, having to make decisions, having to think through things, all of the decisions we have to make, all the different roles, all the different hats that we're, you know, we're wearing in life. And, you know, if that's if you've got, you know, how many different areas of your life that you're trying to look out for. Like, you know, if I consider my own life, you know, I've got the whole dad life, I've got work life, I've got study life, I've got, you know, all the different bits and pieces. It's a lot to have to try to think about and work out. And am I doing it right? So how can me in the now, how can now Tom help future Tom? How can now Tom help next now Tom? Because ultimately all we ever get is a whole bunch of nows. Now, now, now. All it is just more and more moments of now. So can I start building some things in to help myself? Can I be putting my workout gear on before I go to bed? Can I put the shoes by the bed? That worked this morning. Put the shoes by the bed, workout gear in, walked out straight onto the treadmill, did my exercise. Really, I felt like this morning I conquered the morning. What else could I do? Meal prep, healthy snacks, so that way I'm not binging on crap. Maybe, again, another thing from Michelle Bridges, ages and ages and ages ago when I did one of her challenges, was about not having junk food in the house. Like, even if though it's wasteful, go and get rid of every skerrick of, if that's the right word, of junk food from your place. Clear the place out so that you've only got healthy stuff. Because sure enough, you go hunting for that unhealthy food. If it's not there, now you has helped future you when that time arrives, right? It's also got me thinking about, what about automation? You know, between smartphones, smartwatches, computers, iPads and the rest, you know, a billion apps probably. Surely there is a way to automate a lot of the things that happen in our lives. Like, I've seen Zaps and If This Then That and different automations, and, you know, people can be turning on their house and lights and aircon before they get home, and there's a range of different things. I suppose delivery for groceries, you know, if I was to sit down and actually give it some time, is there a way that small amount of time invested thinking about automation and putting things in place, the stitch in time could save nine, whatever the saying is. Could I get to a point where I'm actually going to be saving a ton of time by automating a ton of things? or even just some things. Recently, I came across, I think his name's Tiago Forte or Forte or something like that, about second brain. And the idea is that, you know, we're not going to try to have our brain storing all of the information, which I think it's David Allen that did the GTD, Getting Things Done book that I'd read. Same sort of thing. Your mind's not meant for remembering everything. And considering how much stuff we have to remember, how much information we're bombarded with, just information that we're bombarded with, not even all of the advertising and all of those things that are coming into our world as well. This second brain idea is about organizing your life digitally. So Tiago works by this para way of doing it, which is projects, areas, responsibilities, and archive. You know, I'm just starting to work out my notes system, you know, because I'm making speeches, or I'm getting ideas for speeches, or I'm putting ideas for online courses, or I'm making sure that there's key dates for different people and friends and family and all of those sorts of things. I'm not going to go into depth into how that all works in this chat, but that's certainly something that I'm at least trying, again, to clear out my mind so I'm not worrying, is this thing done, is that thing done? And again, like, that emptying the mind space reminds me of learning in Zen. You know, in Zen we learn to bring our mind back to the present. And through Zazen or the sitting meditations or walking meditations, whatever, ultimately you would have thoughts come, but then you are not your thoughts. You can observe the thoughts and you can watch the thoughts come and then go. But a lot of the thoughts that sometimes plague us, you know, it's almost like we need somewhere to put them. You know, is, oh, what, I better remember to call Johnny. Well, okay, yeah, that's important. And it, or it's, you know, grandma's birthday next week. Well, yeah, that's important too. Or whatever it might be. Don't forget your anniversary, right? So putting all of that stuff into the notes, I think is a massive help. Because one of the things that, you know, we did also learn in Zen was about running on intuition. That if you get to a point where you just live in the present moment long enough, you can just roll forward and face all of the different moments that arise with your intuition, and you'll know how to act. You'll have a feeling of the right way to act. And to a degree, I believe that. I don't want to live in the past, and I don't want to, well, you know, dwell on the past, and I don't want to be like worried or anxious about the future. And I really want to believe that it's possible. And I think it is possible, but I don't know if it's like completely the full solution given the world that I'm living in and the fast-paced and everything else. And I want it to be, to a degree, even busier with, you know, the side hustle and the podcast and doing more time and whatever else. You know, but with study, work, kids, friends, family, chores, errands, hobbies, bills, emails, the side hustle, more. I'm sure your list has even more things that you need to get done and do. You know, I think there needs to be some other things going other than just intuition, which, again, how much stuff can I push to automation, to pre-organized, to my positive advocate, angel on the shoulder, autopilot, by using a to-do list, by using a calendar, by using the second brain, by using digital tools? Can I achieve it all and be in the moment? That's ultimately the challenge I'm setting for myself. Is to rearrange. I've gotten pretty clear about what my goals are. I'm pretty clear about my vision, my values, what's important to me, where I want to be in life. You know, I'm studying to be a school teacher right now. I'm working in schools and seeing, you know, how to help shape the young minds that will go on to become the leaders of the future, and just seeing how incredible some of these kids are. And you know, I'm learning to use an iPad. I often joke and say that I feel like I was one of the last kids that stayed outside with my soccer ball and my bike with my mates rather than sitting around on computers. And, you know, I'm not even that old, but we didn't really have a computer. We were pretty poor growing up, and I probably was 15 before we even really had a computer in our house, and like I wasn't using it. So I just really never got on board with the whole thing. And, you know, obviously we use technology in a range of different things. I've worked in corporate computers. Like, I get all of those sorts of things. But what these kids can do with the iPad and switching between different pens and doing all different tasks and searching and the amount of information that's at their fingertips, it's just incredible. And I don't want to get left behind. I want to be able to turn my life into something great. I want to be able to grab control of my mind in this crazy environment, in this crazy world. But I mean, all of this craziness and all of this chaos, if brought into order to a certain degree within my own sphere of control, I have so much power at my fingertips. I have all the information in the world a Google away. I have all of these magnificent tools and apps, and YouTube is just an absolute warehouse of information, if not on Audible for audiobooks or whatever else. If I need to learn how to do something, I can. If I want to learn something, you know, I can follow people that I admire and I can take their courses, some of them free, some of them paid. But ultimately, what I need, it's within reach. It's up to me to somehow stop being on autopilot and letting the critic take the wheel, or just letting my, you know, lazy self or whatever it might be take the wheel. Now it's time to really step up to the plate, do this challenge, do the best that I can. And so think about your life too. Like, is there a way that you can get on board at the same time? Let's grow together. Let's have a look into your life and you see about whether or not you can actually like step your game up and take it to the next level. You know, perhaps you're on Twitter. You know, it'd be great just to drop me a message or drop me a tweet or, you know, something along those lines. I'm Tom Bell, at Tom Bell here. Just, you know, drop a note as to what it is that you're doing. Same sort of thing on Instagram. You know, drop a note, drop something just to say like, hey, this is the plan that I'm doing. This is what I'm doing to get ahead. This is how I automate. I would love to hear the different stories and the different ideas and the different techniques, because that's the thing. You know, we share this information and it might just be the light bulb that goes on for one more person that goes, yeah, why aren't I automating this? Or why aren't I going to bed in the gym clothes? Or what are the obstacles to me being the best version of myself? And how do I remove the obstacles? Like, why has it become a marathon hurdle race? Who put all the hurdles on the track? How about we organize ahead to go ahead of us in the race and move the hurdles off the track? You know, that's the beauty of what you have. You have that long-term thinking. You can strategically think ahead and go, well, hey, that's going to be an issue. And you can look back and go, what stopped me in the past? You know, when I was trying to lose weight, was the fact that I had, you know, a box full of donuts or, bags and bags of chips or whatever it might have been. You can go and change it so that you have less hurdles on the track. Less hurdles means less fatigue, which means an easier run, right? So it's all on me. I've got to take ownership. I've got to take things to the next level. That's what this is all about. So we'll see where this goes. But I'm Tom Bell. I'm so grateful to have you here. And I'll catch you for our next chat.